bet. All right, let's pray. Good morning, everyone. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the seasons. We appreciate the change of the seasons here in Indiana and enjoy fall and the day that you've given to us. This is the day that the Lord has made, and our days are numbered. And so we would rejoice in this day in you and the opportunity to be together as your church and be under your word. And may we come under it today and start with our own lives, our own hearts as we hear truth this day. And we thank you that we have everything that we need given to us pertaining to all of our lives found in your word. We thank you for that. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have not left us without answers. And I pray that that's been even impressed upon us in the months we spent together, just dealing with all these various topics that relate to knowing you and living for your glory. So in this hour that we have now, as we wrap things up, I pray that you would bless our time together and the hour to come. And we pray these things together in Christ's name. Amen. I handed out a sheet last week. If you had or took the time to fill that out, just leave it on the table today, okay? Just leave it on the table. We'll pick it up later. And thank you so much for filling that out. We are crossing the finish line today. And I want to thank you so much for just being part of it. Our goal, my goal, purpose in this class has been to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, in your knowledge of the Lord, to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, and also to hopefully equip you maybe a little bit more in being the kind of people that God has called us to be and to do the work he's called us to do in terms of making disciples. We've covered, just go to the front of our syllabus here and just take a glance. We've covered a lot of stuff, haven't we? From just starting out and thinking about the scriptures themselves and various topics, how to get into the Bible, and we just touched on that and what it means to know God and the person of Christ and the Spirit and salvation and assurance of our salvation and how to grow, dealing with sin, how to do forgiveness God's way. We're celebrating the Lord's Supper in the next hour today, one of the two requirements, one of the two things to perpetuate that we've been given by the Lord is baptism and the Lord's Supper. Do this in his name and as for the church until he comes. Talked about the church, spiritual giftedness, evangelism, God's will and guidance, trials, our speech, how to communicate better with one another, biblical love, getting right with others. And then we wrapped up with what is a good church and how does God require of and what does he have to say about leadership in the church. We probably could have another 50 topics, couldn't we, if we wanted to. Or we could take these and go, each one of them, go much deeper. But these are basic things relating to the Christian life. And the purpose of this, like I said, is to encourage you, to equip you a little bit more, strengthen you in the faith, and to help us in our calling as believers. Now, I pray there's no one who leaves this class and still has not trusted Christ as your own personal Savior and have assurance of that. And just a word about that a little bit later. But this would be information that would be helpful to you, but it all starts with you and Christ and knowing him knowing your condition before a holy God as a sinner and need of repentance, and turn from yourself and works and all your futile efforts, and to Christ alone, by faith alone in him, as the hope of your salvation, and based upon the promise of God's word. If we believe in our heart that God raised him from dead, if we confess with our heart, if we confess Christ as Lord in our hearts and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. And God, Titus 1, who cannot lie, promises these things. So you can be as assured of your salvation as God is real and as God is truthful. So let's also turn back then of our syllabus and take our Bible, turn to that familiar passage, but everything has been leading to strengthen us in this, and turn over to the end of Matthew, to that passage in Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. As one old timer used to say, God did not save us to sit, soak, and sour, but to serve him, right? We're saved unto service. And a expression of that service was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you also have your syllabus, turn back to page 109, my final appeal. This study was all about your continued growth in the Lord. Now, let's stop just there for just a moment. How many of you in here heard the gospel, trusted Christ, and heard, now that you've trusted Christ, you've got to grow? How many heard that immediately as a new believer? Really? 3, 4, 5? How many didn't hear it? Many of you did not hear that. You know what? I didn't either. And so my early Christian life was a real struggle. And I didn't get any real help. Now, I can attribute this to myself likewise, but I kind of grew up in somewhat of a church that said, okay, come forward, trust Jesus, and then be good. Right? And I didn't have someone till later on in the Christian life say, wait a minute, are you growing? And I said, well, I'm trying to read the Bible. No, are you growing? Do you understand how to grow? That's something we've come back to time and time again in this class, hasn't we? Because if you are saved and you are not growing, you are easily a frustrated believer. So it's amazing to me. I don't know. Deborah, you weren't here right now. I was asking people to raise their hands. How many of them heard right away when they were converted? I think 3 people that they needed to grow. 3 people raised their hands.
To be fair, I came to faith through someone doing bodybuilders with me.
Oh, Grazel. Doing bodybuilders.
Yeah.
Bless you, my child. Enough said. Let's close in prayer. But, amazing that many of us did not hear. Now you've got to grow, and to help you know how to grow. This is not the only source of helping somebody to grow, but you are accountable now. I've given you a source of, you can have a neighbor who says, I just like to understand something about the Bible. You can deal with just the one thing on how to study and as an opportunity to get to the gospel. You can use this. I know families that have used this, and I'm not bragging about the material, but have used this with their kids. And they, as mom and dad, they've gone through this with their kids in discipling their kids. And the kids fill in the blanks and grow in that manner. Or you can have a person, and I asked you concerning the handout last week, if you are willing to make yourself available to the Lord as he would bring someone into your life that wants to grow or needs to grow or that doesn't know, understand salvation. And I want to say to you, if you answer that in the positive, if God is not willing that any should perish, is that true? If God is not willing that any should perish, and you're praying the Lord, give me opportunity, I want to tell you something right now. You're going to have an opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity. It may be somebody, a coworker, whatever else, that you're able to encourage them, help them know Christ and grow in the faith. There's an old saying that is very appropriate to all work you have accomplished in these lessons. Everybody read this next part and underline it. Use it or lose it. How many people here have learned another language? Okay, Angel, what did you learn?
Russian
and English, okay. Did you grow up learning Russian?
No.
You study and learn?
Yes.
Are you staying current in it?
In my mind, yes.
Kind of. How many took Spanish? How many are still good in Spanish? You don't automatically, kind of, yeah, unless you're using it quite a bit, right? It's really true with the language, is it not? I study Hebrew and Greek, and I have to go back to the sources all the time in my study of that. You see that Pastor Dave is a grammar nut, but he loves it. He stays in it, and that's why he can help us understand the languages. But it's so true, and it's so true with reference to something like we've studied. Every time that I use this material on a personal level or with a class like this, I gain benefit of it, and I can always go back and work on it and understand it better. And I think if we just started all over again, we could gain the benefit from it again, could we not, and even go deeper. So it's important that we use the things that we have learned, not only in our own life, but with others. The best way to implement truth into life is reinforce that what you've learned is to put it to use. And God's way for you to do so is to teach it to someone else. Now, I heard Dr. John MacArthur one time respond to one of the excuses about making disciple and discipling somebody else. And it's the excuse that, well, I don't know very much. Dr. MacArthur's response to that was this: there's got to be somebody in this church who knows less than you. Find them. I thought that was very good, right? You say, well, I don't know everything. If you know everything, we're all learning. You're all growing. Or if you say, well, if I work with somebody and meet with them to study together or to encourage them, they may ask me something that I can't answer. Well, you see, if that's a big problem with you, what is your problem? What is at the heart of your problem? You're proud, because we all don't know everything. And so it's a great opportunity then to get to somebody else or study on your own and discover the answer and gain the benefit of it. So a wise person will say, wow, that's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that yet, but I'll find a way to answer you one way or another and get help with that. So let us not use, that's one of the excuses about with somebody else. You say, well, I'm very novice. MacArthur said, there's somebody dumber than you. Find them and start working with them. So Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Is for pastors and elders only.
No.
Thank you. A little louder on that. No, right? This is the resurrected Christ to his disciples. Wiersbe always would say, last words should be lasting words to us. And these are lasting words. Lasting words. They come with authority. Look at verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not only your Savior, this is your Lord, your Master, the one who owns you and has saved you and is to rule over your life. And it's a rule of love, that's for sure. And so remember, we have one main verb in verses 19 and 20, surrounded by what is called three participles. By the way, I got through grammar school without grade school and high school, and I was sitting in class staring out the window, and I never learned what a verb, an adjective, or a participle was. How many got away with that like me? You just never learned. Okay, few of you. Most of you listened. I didn't. So then I go to college. I didn't have to learn grammar. And then I get to seminary, and I'm going to take original languages. And I had to sneak off into the night and go to the library and the bookstore and buy eighth grade little grammar books to learn what a verb and an adjective and a participle was, so I didn't flunk out of seminary. There is one main verb. In 19 and 20, there are three actions to accompany it. The one main verb is make disciples. Make disciples. Make followers. Before somebody will follow Christ, they need to know him as Savior. Amen? So we could say the background of this is that we tell other people how to be saved. We tell them about Christ. We point them about Christ. We don't save anybody, but we want to, by grace, tell everybody. We're a bunch of nobodies talking to everybody about somebody. Amen? So behind that is somebody to follow Christ needs to know him. This involves evangelism. But there are the three participles surrounding this mandate to make disciples. It's this, go therefore, make disciples. The go is the imperative, we're going, the participle, we're going. The next participle is when we make disciples, we're baptizing them, we're marking them. And then third, we've got the third participle in verse 20. What else are we doing?
Teaching.
We're teaching it. And notice, teaching them to what?
Observe.
Yeah, to do, to observe. Not only just what the Bible says, but how the Bible works in our lives. How do I do this? How do I do this in a hard marriage? Or how do I do this at work where they're putting this pressure on me to whatever? You know, how do I do this? So we're teaching them to observe, and we're teaching them to observe what? All that I commanded you. And the encouragement, I'm with you always. And then we get over into the book of Acts. It's not very much after that. 40 days in this time between resurrection and ascension that Jesus ascends into heaven. And he says to his men, okay, you shall be my what?
Witnesses.
And go in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's to go on until he comes back. So this comes to us likewise as members of the church. We are to be involved in this. We are to be involved in this on a personal level. So we want to be available that we would have opportunity with somebody else. We may not. It may not be this. It may just be giving our testimony of what God has done in our life. But we are to be involved. Oftentimes, when we think about ministry, we think a pastor or elders. Ministry is about serving, and all of us are called to serve. We are all in the ministry. So the key to the making disciples is an all church effort. Sometimes it's inviting a friend to church and they hear the gospel, they get saved. Hallelujah. But it's not just happening here. We come to be able to be built up in the faith. We gather to be encouraged and strengthened. We scatter to tell and evangelize and do our part in making disciples. So I want to emphasize again, we've got it here in the in your page 109, right? This passage expresses Christ's marching orders to the church. Your task in obedience to him is for you to be involved in making disciples. This is done by your teaching them to observe. And these lessons give you a means to help you accomplish that. What are we trying to do? We're trying to help people be saved, to know Christ, and then when they know Christ, we have an obligation to help them grow in Christ. And part of that help with helping them grow in Christ is make sure we direct them, help them get to a good help?
Church.
Good church. Got one person answered it. Help them, everybody, get them to a good what?
Church.
Because a number one help in that person's life will be other believers. And that person will come and think they're the only one in the building struggling with sin. And what they need to know is, nope, we're all on this thing together, become more like Jesus Christ. and they'll think they are the only one who doesn't know anything, and they'll discover there's a whole lot of other people that have very much to learn. In fact, all of us should raise our hand on that. Amen. So this is our task. See, I want to end with this. It would be terrible to end and not say, we now are accountable to be available to God as we have a heart to obey Him. This is a mandate to obey Him, to be available to help others. This may be you drop into a care group and you just want to be a blessing and encouragement to others. It may be as a parent. It may be with a cousin that has asked a lot of questions, and it's an opportunity. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he's sovereign, and he'll work out the way that'll be best for you to be able to grow. And here's the thing: when you have opportunity to help somebody else grow, who will get the greatest benefit of that? You will. You know, from time to time, somebody teaches the children's church or whatever, and you say to them, you know, how's that going? Oftentimes they'll say, oh man, I've had to be ready for that. it's really helped me in my own walk or my own ability to express truth and so forth. So the person that has benefited from our time together most of all is me, just coming back through this, but I pray you have likewise. Okay. There is a wonderful added benefit to helping someone. I'm just talking about that. Look up 2 Peter 3:18. You don't have to. Oh, you can. It's the last verse in 2 Peter. It says this: but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is an imperative. So what do we got here? We've got another mandate now. Not only make disciples, but grow and be ready for it. We got to keep growing. Are you growing? Are you spending time personally to be faithful in the Word? Do you have a plan for that? Do you have a way of going about that? Do you need help in that? Talk to somebody else who's faithful in that. We have a million devotional guides available to us, right? I want to brag on my wife here for a moment. She's been about 10 years using Dr. MacArthur's daily, whatever it is. What is it, Deborah? Daily? Yeah, Daily Bible. It has the text, it has commentary, it has whatever, and she feels like she benefits so much from that. That's just an example of it. She does that daily, and I'm thankful for a wife who does that. I've got some guys that I text with, and I text what I've read in my daily personal reading, and they text back to me what they have read that day. I've got four other guys to do that. I don't want any more right now. By the way, I've got a fifth one. It's my grandson in Brazil. And my oldest grandson, Darius, he and I text one another. Now, sometimes he misses. Sometimes I miss. But neither one of us, when we've missed a day, have lost our salvation. You with me on that? I mean, it's just we do our best on that, right? And we're both pretty regular. What a blessing that is. That's a form of accountability. And accountability is a good thing. But nobody is to be your spiritual daddy or mommy. You got to take responsibility in that. But if you leave here today and you say, yep, that would be helpful for me, well, then talk to somebody else that has been a blessing to you in your life and get that accountability and start texting with them. That's a way to be in the Word regularly. Don't be a legalist about that. It isn't like an apple a day will keep the devil away or something, okay? But what it does, it keeps you in the what? Keeps you in the Word. And we need to remain in the Word, as God will then, the things that we read and that we catch will always be so encouraging, challenging, and relevant to our lives. There's many other great devotional examples, but it's nice to be doing something that somebody else is doing that you're saying, hey, how's it going? And then when we get maybe a little lazy or sloppy, we can encourage one another to get back at it. But the point of 2 Peter 3:18 is that growth is not optional. And so you come and you say, I'm struggling in all these areas of my life, and My wife is praying for a partial rapture, that I would be the one get raptured. And we are struggling. And I have a question. Are you growing? And you say, oh, sorry, Pastor, really? And I'm growing. Then you know the answer to the problem. And it's not your husband or your wife. It's not the guy at work. It's not your circumstances. It's you. You're not growing. If you're not growing, you're not able to handle the things that come your way and respond with truth to apply to your own heart and become better as God's working in your life rather than become bitter that there's something wrong with God, Christianity, or the Bible. So, do I need to also pound? You got to grow? Should I pound? Everybody say, we've got to grow. Amen? Yeah. Say, we've got to grow. And my personal growth will always be the best thing that I bring to my own family, my wife, to others. Okay, now let's go to that Ezra passage. How are we doing? We got time. Good. Ezra passage. This is so relevant. You know what happiness is? You know what it is? Sitting next to somebody who can find Ezra. Ezra, Nehemiah. Where are we here? Where am I? Esther. There we go. How many have tabs to find it? Thank you, God, for tabs. First, Second Kings, Chronicles, and then Ezra. Hey, didn't we memorize the books of the Bible once upon a time? Huh? See, it's just an example. I haven't go back again and just be reminded. Second Chronicles, Ezra, the scribe. Ezra chapter 7. You were already there, but let's just drive it home to our own thinking again. Ezra 7. Everybody there? Verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all that he requested because of the hand of the Lord was upon him. Now, down to verse 10. Ezra set a pattern for us. For Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it or practice it or obey it and to teach it. Now, I've asked in the syllabus that there is an order here that we want to catch, right? See, we want to know truth. Lots of people want to know truth and they want to tell other people how to live it, right? Yeah, you do this. Well, but Dad, you don't do that. Just listen to me or go to your room, right? You know? This relates to parenting, does it not? We teach by example more than we teach by truth. But we need both. We need both. And you want to raise a first-class Pharisee, then be one. Tell your child to read the Bible and you don't read the Bible. Tell your child what's right and do right and then you don't do right. So we want to know the Word of God, study to know. Then we want to practice the Word. We want to do the Word. We want to be obedient. And then from the implementing truth into our lives, then we qualify to tell somebody else. Not just, well, the Bible says this. But now we can say to them, this is how I've learned this. And this is how you can learn how to handle that person there at work that's causing you to come home beat up, you know, whatever else. So, and remember this, that basic approach, what's called hermeneutics, the science of Bible study, is that we look and we observe, what does the Bible say? Observation, and then we do interpretation. What does the Bible mean by what the Bible says? But then I told you it's a very pointed statement, but Howard Hendricks made the statement, and I'm just going to quote him. He said, to observe and to study without application of the scriptures is an abortion on the text. In other words, God didn't give us this truth to have us go, wow, that's interesting. No, he gives us truth to examine our own lives, how we line up with that truth. So we study in order to live what we learn, in order to be able to teach it to others. That is such an important reminder, because Jesus said, when a pupil is fully trained, he'll become just like his teacher. Wow. So that's discipleship likewise. It's not only what I'm saying, but it's what I'm doing to help you learn to do the same thing. So our prayer is that you will be an Ezra. You'll be an Ezra to others by teaching them what you have learned. And may God bless you in the process. Now, I just mentioned an objection to this can be, I don't know enough to be able to disciple somebody else. Yes, you do, and you'll learn along the way. You've got a resource, and you've got a Bible. Secondly, I mentioned, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? And then be humble and say, I'll find out an answer, because we're all learning. Third, here's the third biggest challenge of just remaining in the Word or discipling somebody else. And it's called this thing time. Because life is an ever-loving race, is it not? And you know, some of you have children, you say, man, I'm up to my ears just trying to keep track of these Indians. And, you know, I've got everything that I need in my own life or my own marriage or my own walk or whatever else. Wow, how am I going to have? Here's the issue. In life, it's always a matter of priorities. What things are most important to God and to myself? Now, I've got time, because it's God's will that I catch how the Colts do today. How about you? Amen? Amen? Come on, man. Don't they play today? They play today. I want to hear a few men say, this is God's will. They play. The women. There we go. Okay. Okay. Back to my example. Please bring them back, Lord. Bring them back here. Okay? We got time for the things that we want to make time for. That's all I'm saying. Amen? So life's a matter of priorities. A matter of priorities. And one way to, I know an individual in helping people, sometimes when they say they don't have time for things, and when people do it's interesting. If you do it yourself, if you block out every waking hour of a day for a few days and you look at how you use your time, you might go, "Ooh, I got time. Yeah. I got time," being a word. It's true for all of us. So in terms of the time, it's just a matter of, likewise, priorities. But we want to do things out of the right motive, because God doesn't bless a wrong motive or a selfish motive. So to leave the class and say, well, you know, I have to do this because Pastor said so, and if I don't, God will get me, would be a wrong motive. Amen? The right motive would, man, I love the Lord and what he's done in my life, and I want to live for him, and I want to please him. So I'm making myself available, and I want to be able to help others any way that I can. Let's end with this. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, very end of the Gospel of John. You know, when a pastor says, let's conclude with this, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Okay? John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 20, John 20, the very end of John 20. We want to just be sure that we have the big picture. By the way, don't next week start to, since this class is over, determine to be a bedside Baptist, okay? Or a member of the Church of the Inner Spring. That one takes a little longer, okay? Mike Luce is a great teacher that really encourages us in the Lord. And what we want to do is then we want to transition into Mike's class for the rest of this month and into November and October. One of the reasons we said, well, let's not just turn around and have another class, is that November and December get crazy, correct? And there's holidays, and to start another one and to stay into it. So let's just transition into there. Let's all be a great blessing to Mike next week, that we're all in there just ready to hear him continue in the book of Isaiah. He's on about a 40-year journey through Isaiah. If you know him, he takes forever, but he just leaves you with with help from that book every time. So we're gonna be in there together next week, Lord willing. The Gospels are a four-dimensional perspective on our Savior, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me see if I can do it. Matthew, King. Luke. Help me, anybody. Luke, is he servant? Okay, that's Mark. King, Matthew's king. Luke is man. Oh, he's humanity. Thank you. Mark is servant. And what is John? John is his deity. One's humanity, one's his deity. Thank you. So we benefit for all four Gospels and learning more, seeing better about Christ. But John, in a beautiful manner, gives us the very purpose of his book, does he not? And so when we're working with somebody and they haven't been in the Scriptures, boy, our present young generation doesn't even know the Bible exists, almost, yet alone having read it or know anything about it. But John gives the purpose of his presentation of Christ in the Gospel of John in verse 30 and 31, right? So when somebody's never read, we say, and they're willing, say, start reading in the Gospel of John. Because in the Gospel of John, you get a good picture of who Jesus Christ is as the Son of God. Okay? Verse 30. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of these of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written. John 20, 31. These have been written. There's one of those purpose clauses and that we should always light up when we see a so that. So that you may what? You may believe what? That Jesus is the? He is the? And that? You may have what? Life. Well, there it is. You may have eternal life in him. There it is. There it is. Now, if we go over to 1 John, you know what I'm doing, don't you? Go over to 1 John, but it's wonderful to be able to put these two together, even helping somebody else. Now, 1 John is his epistle, which is a letter, versus the Gospel of John, which is the good news about Jesus and all that he did and how you can have life. And then we get over in 1 John 5 in verse 13, and he gives us the purpose of 1 John. 1 John 5:13. I'll give you a minute to get there. First John 5:13. And I'm thankful, John, in both of the epistle and the gospel, he says, here's the whole point. I just love it when people put the whole thing together. Amen? Say, this is the main thing, because we like to say the main thing is to keep the main thing what? The main thing. So John says, okay, here's the main thing of the epistle. These things, verse 13, that I've written to you who believe. Oh, we're back in the Gospel of John, right? Who believe in the name of the Son of God. Here's another purpose clause. So that you may
know.
Everybody say it one more time. That you may what?
Know.
Oh, you can't know whether or not you're on your way to heaven. What's the Bible say? That you may what?
Know.
This is that great verse, but it's not the only verse. And there's much more to be said about assurance of salvation. By the way, in addition to this verse, let me tell you the best way to experience assurance of salvation. Just keep growing. Keep growing. Because it is perseverance that confirms sonship and brings blessing in your life. Did you hear me? You stop growing, then you start doubting. I've talked to people I've talked to seminary graduates who all of a sudden they're not even sure. Why? They have stopped growing. And then they start doubting. Keep growing. Keep growing. And it's that obedience, that perseverance that confirms sonship and brings blessing. That you may know that you have what? That you may have eternal life. Now remember that word gnosko is more than just have awareness of information. Let me tell you something about Deborah, a secret. Let me see if I can think of one. There will not be dirty dishes in the sink right now. Because if somebody came in and robbed our house and they saw there were dirty dishes there, that thief would not think highly of my wife. So, now, be thankful about that. Now, you know that about Deborah. But I gnosko her. Apart from God, nobody knows her as well as I know her as my wife. I know her intimately. I know her in this way. That's this word gnosko. You have fullness of knowledge that you're his. Isn't it a wonderful thing to go into the next hour here, and if you know anything, man, you know that you know the Lord, and it's your God, it's your Savior that you're hearing from today. And you know, if you died on the way back home today, you go into the presence of Christ. Amen? That you have hope of that. You got that thing settled because you know that you've trusted. That you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. But many of you, just like me, you heard the gospel and you believe the gospel, but somebody didn't say, okay, now I want you to start in Philippians and read Philippians. And I want you to remember how to read. We look for things. We look for things. So you say, I want you to read Philippians, and I want you to read through that book this week, and I want you to pick out one verse from each chapter and write a thought about that verse, and we'll get together and we'll talk about it. And so if you read looking for something, what are you going to do? Gain the benefit of it. Because you remember, please, you remember, if you just say, this week I'm going to start reading the Bible, and you start reading there Ezekiel chapter 1, and you're reading it, and you're thinking, I got a dental appointment at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I got to take care of this, we got to get the dog to the vet, and blah, 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 and you're done reading that chapter, and you don't even remember what book of the Bible you were in. So you remember, and you teach others how to read. We look for things about God, always first. We look for warnings that we are given. We look for commands to obey. And we look for sins to avoid. And we look for promises to claim. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is promises. We're looking for that stuff. And you look for that stuff when you read the word. That's always going to be things jumping out at you. Amen? Jumping out at you. I was reading earlier this morning from Jeremiah chapter 5. And in chapter 5, I was reading the second half of it early this morning and texting my brothers, because sometimes on Sundays I don't get it done. And it talked in there about the fact that Israel just would not listen. Just would not listen. And I could pray and thank the Lord and say, Lord, I'm glad that's not me. I listen to you all the time. I've been so attentive to your will in my life all the time. Amen. Right back at Kevin. That's what the Spirit of God does in our hearts, isn't he? That's what he does in our hearts. Prayed for you. As men this morning, we prayed for you. We pray that your hearts would be cleansed and receptive to the word today. So, thank you for being in this class and seeking to be growing in this way. And please take to heart the things that I've taught to encourage you with in using what we have to be better for Christ and to help others know him likewise. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the journey that we've had together through these various topics and what your word has to say about it, and to keep growing. Thank you for not only revealing the way to eternity for us, Jesus, who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But even in your word, as we just read, to be able from your word to have assurance of our relationship with you and be at peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you for that. And so we thank you, and we give you all glory for this and what you have done and what you're going to do in our journey together in serving you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you.